Welcome to Gen Z Hoops, the Gen Z basketball, coaching, and sports business show. On this podcast, you'll learn from professional players, coaches, and executives from all over the world and see the court in a brand new way. And now, joining you courtside, your Gen Z host, John Hartafillis.
John, man, what's going on?
Hey, what's happening, John?
Doing great. Really excited to get this show going. It's crazy. We just kind of met, like, you know, for the first time on face-to-face on this show. But I've been reading your stuff for a while. I've been seeing your stuff on LinkedIn. You're always posting some, not just cool stuff, but, like, it's really, like, uplifting. Like, you know, a lot of times, like, you're a very good writer, obviously. So, like, it comes across, you know, through what you're putting out there, a lot of that positivity. So excited to do this show and talk about both your career and obviously what you're doing now, really helping people like me and all the Gen Z kind of get in the game. So it's gonna be a lot of fun.
Yeah, likewise. Now I'm excited to be here on the show. Glad to meet you, and yeah, looking forward to this.
Definitely. So, I mean, normally I always start off shows asking basketball related questions, but you are a lot more than that, right? You have a lot. You do a lot more than that. And one of those things is your writing. You've always liked writing. It's something you're passionate about, and it's something you're doing a lot of now. Obviously, putting all this cool content out there. So, what was that like for you? Maybe first getting into it and realizing you liked it.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I started writing when I was a kid. So, like, 4 years old, I started writing my first poems and everything, and wrote a lot through high school, college. And then, you know, I had a dream to work in the NBA. And so, like, within that, I was able to work in the NBA, get a job with the Portland Trailblazers. And, you know, while I was there, I just, you know, you're doing your job, but you're also, like, you know, you're searching, you know, you're 24, 25, you're also looking within of who you are and what you want to do with your life. And, you know, a couple of things that I really wanted to do was, you know, humanitarian work, serving other people, and writing. I love to write. So when I really started pursuing it was, you know, during the pandemic, I had a lot of time. And that's when I started writing kind of articles to help other people who wanted to work in the NBA one day, of just like, three things of how to get a job in the NBA, three things of how to get an internship, three ways to keep your internship, just things I had learned and content I wish had been there when I was looking for a job. When I looked for a job, I just Googled NBA jobs and started from there. And so now I'm just trying to, you know, fill the gap of things people want to know, and that would help them, you know, take the next step to hopefully, you know, finding their passion and career. So within that, they kind of built. And then my time with Trailblazers ended in January, so I just decided to jump all in on the writing portion and see if we could really get this thing going. So
it's fun, right? I really enjoyed reading all that content, but it's not like writing's been the only thing you kind of do in the media space. You've also been a podcast host before. This isn't your first time being on a podcast, because you used to host one for it's called The Aftermath, really covering the PFL, the Practice Fantasy Football League. Goodness, so yeah. Walk us through that. What was going on there? It seems like a lot of
fun. Oh my goodness, yeah. So, you know, at the Trailblazers, we started a, you know, a fantasy football league 15 years ago. And, you know, it was the guys on the staff, and we had a really small staff back then. So it was almost everybody on the staff, you know, played in our fantasy football league, and, you know, it became a big deal. And then, you know, we turned it into a keeper league. So, you know, you keep your rosters year to year. And so, you know, as the staff grew, you know, NBA teams are changing, more and more people wanted to be part of the league. So then, you know, our owners started getting co-owners and scouting staffs within their fantasy teams. And so, and we do hold, you know, a couple of GMs in the NBA are in our league, Chad Buchanan from the Pacers and Joe Cronin with the Trailblazers. You know, we have Caleb Canales, you know, former head coach, Ben Fall, Clean Glass. So we got all these basketball power hitters. So anyway, we were talking about, it was like, wow, we should have a podcast, you know, kind of just spitballing. And it was like, yeah, let's do it. So I started hosting with my guy, Rick Riley, Joe Lee was, you know, our master producer. So just some guys in the office. We, you know, the pod was generally contained to our office, but, you know, we were able to use some of our connections to get some big time guests. Adam Schefter came on, which was a blast. Coach Stotts would always, come on and be a part of it. And so, we had a lot of fun with it, and, not new to the podcast game here. It's a lot of fun to be able to, you know, meet people, talk to people, and that kind of thing.
So much fun. I was in a league at MSG this past year. for fantasy football, and they did baseball. And I don't know anything about baseball. So baseball, when I got completely carried, I was like, when you want to, I was like literally the intern on the fantasy. Like if like there was a GM and a assistant general manager and assistant, all that stuff, I was like the intern of the fantasy football team for sure. I had no idea what I was doing for baseball, especially. So that was a lot of fun, but it's just cool. Like kind of being with everyone. And for you guys, I mean, especially right, people kind of branching out, that's gotta be a great way to kind of keep that network alive even and really get.
Yeah, it's been one of the main ways we've all stayed connected for 15 awesome. Years. It's like, the original group is still part of, you know, the members who are still in the league. So it keeps us in touch. Like, you know, a lot of us won't talk all year, and then all of a sudden fantasy football starts and you're on the phone every day making trades and talking to each other. And it's like, you know, something at the office that always kept us close as well. You know, where it was, even when we were interviewing people, like our boss, the assistant general manager, he'd be like, hey, make sure you're getting someone who like wants to play hoops with us and wants to be in the fantasy football league and just wants to participate in things around the office. Cause you know, a big part of, you know, working for an NBA team is a cohesive unit and being connected. And so it's kind of funny how things like fantasy football play into that.
Well, and that's, it's funny you brought that up because that's something you've written about before. And it's something that's super important to touch on in terms of that fit, right? I mean, you've kind of wrote before, I think it was the Blazers assistant GM, Bill Branch, was always telling you guys, find people you want to hang out with, right? Guys that you actually really enjoy being around, people you really like hanging out with. So, I mean, how important is that, not just about the fantasy football league, obviously, but just beyond that, in terms of getting a job in basketball, just really, not just once you're there, also just actually enjoying what you're doing.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, on both sides, it's important to get in a job. Like, that's where I always talk, like, everyone needs experience. You need to know, have a skill set. You have to have things that you can offer an NBA team to even get your resume looked at. And then from there, you know, when they're interviewing people, a lot of times it's like, who do you connect with? Who do you like? And so it goes far beyond like, you know, who has the best resume. It's like, you need what you need to get on, to get in the room, to get an interview. And then from there, it's a lot about fit, of finding the people who fit the culture of what the team is and what they're looking for, and you know, how they connect. And so even like with us, like we'll, you know, do Zoom interviews with you know, prospective interns, and you know, we'll do it could be anybody in the office who does the interview, because we're just looking how people connect with one another. And then obviously, like once you're on the team and working as a staff, like just, you know, you're there, you know, you say it's 24/7 job. You know, it is in a way, like during the season, it's 7 days a week, there's no holidays. So you're with these people a lot. So it's very important to get along and to enjoy one another.
Oh, for sure. I mean, that's such a big part of it, is that having that kind of cohesiveness, having that kind of connection with one another. I mean, the fact that you guys are able to do that, right, even all branching out different places is really incredible and really cool. But right, kind of bringing it back to maybe the start of your story, you've obviously written a lot about it. So like anyone that's obviously read Get in the Game obviously knows all about it. But I mean, talk to us a little bit about, right, that first moment of, right, maybe getting the opportunity to kind of even have a chance to kind of be a part of an organization and kind of try to be someone that can fit in. Like, how did that even come about for you with the Blazers originally?
Yeah, I mean, I was trying to get an internship in the NBA and applying with every team for anything. And probably like a lot of people on your pod of experience, like I got rejected like 18 times before I even got, I got an interview with the Boston Celtics, and I was just like, blew my mind. I was like, this is incredible. It was for like a video internship. You know, I went up to Boston and walked into their video room, and just like 20 games of basketball on. I'm like, oh my goodness, like this is a job. And then, you know, made it to the top four of that, didn't get it. I was, you know, the end of the world. I was devastated. And then, luckily, you know, the Blazers, it was like October, the season was getting started. They hadn't hired an intern yet. And they called me, and, you know, things ended up working out there. You know, when I got to Portland, I was very timid and shy and out of my element. And so like for me fitting in, and even like what they tell us as first year interns, they're just like, keep your mouth shut, stay in the corner, and you know, your voice will come eventually. And so I really did like stay in the corner for better or worse, and just tried to, you know, get my work done, even though work was, you know, my first year was overwhelming. But, you know, I said one thing, like I really care about people and I like getting to know people. And so I think people could tell there that I was a very genuine person and that I wanted to do my best. And even, you know, when I was struggling, like people, I was lucky enough to, you know, Caleb Canales and Tim Grass were, you know, our head video coordinator and assistant video coordinator. And they were patient with me in allowing me to learn what I needed to learn and to grow. And, you know, that gave me the opportunity to fit in. Like Caleb and, you know, Bobby Medina, he was our strength coach. Started out with the UNLV Running Rebels back in the day, and then was with the Sonics and Blazers. And like, you know, he took me into his home, literally, like, you know, I was sleeping on couches doing that thing. And him and his wife, like, gave me a bed. And so, like, there was such a family atmosphere that people at the office created. And, you know, I give a lot of credit to Caleb and Bobby for that. And, you know, from within that, then those of us who they were taking care of, you know, we tried to pass that on down. And even like, you know, getting the game 101, like Tim Grass was the one telling me like, hey, you need to reach back out to these people who are calling you, because, you know, once you know, he was someone who like everybody who like reached out to him, he's like, I'm going to call him back and see how I can help him. And he gave brutal feedback. I mean, whew, if they misspell something or something, he was hardcore with them. I was like, dang, I respect that. I don't know if I could do that, but I was like, sure, that's very helpful to people. But so like, I felt like, you know, how I was able to fit in was how people took care of me. And then, you know, just from that, you know, you try to do that on to the next. And so I started, you know, trying to help the next group of people fit in. And then, you know, from that, like I said, the office really trusted me. So the Fantasy Football League, you know, was our first year, and they fired the commissioner and I was just an intern. And they said, you know, you're the only trustworthy person here, so you're in charge now. So 15 years later, still running that league. So you find different ways to, you know, fit in and make your mark.
That is it. Wait, I'm stuck on that last part, because if I was given the commissioner reins, I would have absolutely lost my mind this year. That would have been way too much for me to handle. I mean, you've been doing that 15 years running strong. Like that's incredible. That should be like your thing on your link, like the highlight. I'm commissioner, 15 plus year commissioner.
Oh my goodness. I don't think people know how challenging it is to be a commissioner in a fantasy football league with all those guys. My goodness. They've been giving me trouble for years. So I actually built a board of directors within our fantasy football league. So I got six guys, so that, you know, if there's issues and people are complaining about different rules and things, then I pass it on to the board of directors, because they were keeping me up at night. Like people calling me, and it was too much. So I built a staff for myself within that.
That is incredible. That is honestly so much fun and cool to think about. But I mean, as commissioner, right? I mean, you have all these responsibilities. People are, right, you said, calling you all the time. You got to be available. And that's something you talk about a lot in the Substack, talking about how, like, you know, you got to be the guy to turn the lights off, turn the lights on, turn the lights off, like always be there and ready to go whenever it is needed. I mean, how important was that for you going through not just your NBA career, but even now, right, running the Fantasy Football League?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably why I was able to stick around in the NBA. I think part of what makes my story relatable is I, you know, as a video coordinator, but I wasn't, you know, a star at video or anything. I had some experience, but like I said, they were patient with me and let me grow. But the one thing they could count on me for was that I was available. And so even I was just at the office, I was watching games. Then when, you know, guys would come in at night, I was there to help rebound, you know, back in the morning and at practice. And so like, it was just like kind of a nonstop weekends. And then like, you know, Kevin Pritchard and Chad Buchanan started calling me when I was, you know, on a, you know, be a Sunday afternoon, and they would call and like, hey, who's in the gym? What's going on? Cause they just knew I was there. And so that stuff I felt like really helped, you know, the office trust me. And, you know, honestly, part of why I was there is I had nothing else to do. I was new in Portland, Oregon, and I had no idea what to do there. So why wouldn't I want to be at, you know, the practice facility? And, you know, you can work out there and they have the pools and the basketball courts. So it's like, I would just, you know, be there and be available. And, you know, I feel like that's what led to, and like for people, it's like, you know, I worked in the video room for 6 years, which was really a grind for 6 years. But then, you know, after that, you know, there's new people coming in and kind of doing the whole available. And I was able to create a life outside of basketball to where I could do a bunch of other things. And so, you know, it wasn't like that forever, but that was kind of what helped me, you know, get my foot in the door and then stay in.
Definitely. I mean, that part of that, whether it's like grind, always being available, it's obviously such a big part of working in sports, but sometimes you'll even have people I know reach out to you. Most of the time people are just, you know, thanking you for your advice and things like that. Or right, like someone like me, we're kind of doing this, obviously you're doing the cohort thing, which we're going to talk about in a second. And obviously you're coming on the show, but some people just tell you, oh, well, you know, thanks for the advice, but I already did that. right? I mean, how do you maybe respond to that? Because obviously it can be frustrating for people to maybe try so hard and not see the responses, the results they're looking for, but maybe they should just keep going. Like how should they approach that?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. Cause I get that a lot where, you know, I give advice to people and people say, yeah, I did that, but what? And it's like, a lot of times that's the thing. It's like, even like I said, like I got rejected 18 times. Like I did what I needed to do and people didn't call me back. And that's where it gets hard. But it is like, you just have to keep going. And it's like, it's like everyone has to count the cost. Like eventually, you know, if you've knocked on the door 100 times and no one's answered, it might not be the fit for you. And I know that's hard because, you know, a lot of us have put a lot of time into things and it's like, that opportunity might just not be there for you. And I feel like eventually you have to, you know, count the cost of, is it worth it to keep sacrificing whatever you're sacrificing, whether that's family, relationships, friendships, to chase this dream. Because one thing I say is like, you know, obviously we're all looking for this dream, but what's really important is who we become on the way to the dream. So it's like, you know, if you didn't achieve that dream, but you became who you're supposed to be, like you won, you got what you needed. And so I know it's really hard for, you know, when you've learned sports code and you've been a student manager and a GA and you've gotten the experience and then you don't get hired, that's really hard. You know, the best thing I can say is like, there's plenty of opportunities in basketball. So whether that is in the G League, the WNBA, college hoops, international hoops, if you've built your skill set and you have good rapport with people, I can say 99.9%, you're going to land somewhere. And then whether it's the NBA or not, even like some guys I work with who are really great at everything they did, like, man, they spent so, like, they're in their 40s, 50s when they finally got their break. And so, honestly, I wouldn't have waited until I was in my 40s or 50s. I respect those who did, but that's where I think for each person, it's like the dream is worth chasing. It's a blast. I loved working in the NBA. But also it's like, you know, you got to kind of count the cost. That's kind of like some things I've written recently of like, you know, the party's over. Like I worked for 15 years and then, you know, as soon as I was let go, I was talking to some other teams and one team in particular. And then I kind of was just like, you know what? I need a break. I don't think I want to just get caught in this again. I want to make sure I'm like healthy emotionally, spiritually, and ready to jump back into the, you know, the rat race when I'm ready to do it. And so I think, you know, for each person, you just kind of have to get to know yourself and where you're at in that process.
Definitely. I mean, you mentioned how hard it is for someone to obviously have that, whether it's not working out or you're feeling that sense of rejection when you're not getting the job you're looking for. But it's also really difficult to know when it's time to leave the party. And that's right, can sometimes be even harder, and knowing what that looks like. And it's different for everybody, but maybe what it looks like for you versus someone else, or obviously what's most important is what it looks like for you and figuring that out for yourself. So I'm happy you brought that up, because it's something that, I mean, like, I didn't even think about it too much until I read your post. And I was like, you know what, like maybe that is something I should think about, because that might come up, maybe not even in my work in basketball, but in some other aspect or in some other job or in my internship now. Like, what is it look like in terms of leaving the party? That was something I never thought about before. And your post helped me a lot with that.
I appreciate that. Yeah. I know. I just kind of, well, I was listening to podcasts with Hugh Jackman and he had that line. I was like, oh, that's good. And I just like wrote down that line. I started writing a little article and it wasn't intended to be as, I mean, it ended up like that was one of probably the bigger articles I've written that's, you know, been circulated and read. And I wasn't intending like that, but it ended up kind of being a farewell for myself. And I was just writing an article that I thought had some good content in it. And then I ended up weaving my story into that, because even like, you know, I got let go by the Blazers. I didn't go public with it. It's just such a, I mean, as some of your listeners know, like the Blazers have been in a interesting space the last couple of years in our GM investigation. And then, you know, like, we had to take part of that investigation, and then a bunch of us got let go, and it was like, that's not cool. And so there's a lot of legal layers to everything. And so I just hadn't really said much about my departure from the organization. And then, yeah, I just kind of weaved it into that article. And then it seemed like it really, you know, stuck and hit and resonated with a lot of people in and out of the league. So
That's an interesting part about how people in and out of the league right now, you're not just writing people that want to work in basketball. It can be applied to many other different ways as well. But one of the really cool things you're about to do in basketball has to do with these draft cohorts you're doing. And I'm excited. That's kind of what kind of sparked this. I'm like, you know what? Okay, I have to reach out to John right now. We have to get the show.
It's going
to
be way
too much fun. But I'm all signed up. I'm ready to go for it. Tell us a little bit about me, what that looks like.
Yeah. So obviously with Getting the Game 101, that's kind of where I started writing. A year or so ago, I started like, you know, I'm actually going to put this stuff together. And then I moved stuff to Substack, which really helped it take off because it was just a much more easier place for people to, you know, find the content and read it and share it. And so, you know, I've been doing that. Then, you know, last couple months started, you know, writing more and more. And then I had an opportunity a month ago to go to Ukraine and Romania, which was unreal. It was one of those, the opportunity came up and I was like, yeah, I'm in, like, I'm not going to pass up an opportunity to do some, we were doing refugee care at the border. And so, you know, anytime like you're in a different space in life, for me, it's like, you think differently, you have different ideas. I don't know why I was thinking about it out there, but I was like, oh, I should do a draft cohort. Like, I love the NBA draft. I love, like, you know, getting to know guys like this and Zoom courses. And so I was like, why don't I put together, like, you know, a bunch of the people I know in the NBA who've, you know, been in war rooms and doing analytics and medical and agents and all these different parts, scouts, coaches, player development. And there's so many things that go into like why a team makes a draft selection. And so I was like, man, that'd be fun to put some guys and gals together into cohorts to actually go through this process. And so that's where, like, from Getting the Game, you know, I met up with a couple guys, Matt McKay from Pro Insight, Mike Weisenberg and Bjorn Zetterberg. We got together and kind of brainstormed this and the cohorts. And so they're going to kind of help lead it with me. And then, you know, we're getting some other guys from around the NBA to, you know, help teach and lead the classes. And yeah, so I'm stoked about it. We start, you know, May 17th. So just around the corner, and we're going to do 6 weeks of classes. And then, you know, the people who sign up for the course will be in like little cohorts of 3 to 4. And then they'll be building a big board together as a front office. And then at the end of the course, we'll do a draft. And then, you know, as we're going along, one thing people like kind of asking, like, oh, are you going to help us like know who to pick? And that's not at all. It's, we're going to help you know the process. And so, like, how does medical play into this? How does intel play into this? How does analytics and how do NBA teams think and process? So that's kind of what we're going to do. And then, you know, the people who sign up for the class will, you know, be able to build up their big boards. And then one thing, like, that's something I've done since I was a kid is basically I'm creating a course that I would have wanted to do as a kid or 15 years ago. And basically, like, even since I've been in the NBA, you know, it's obviously you're working together as a staff to put together your big board, which is what we'll be doing. But I also always kept my own, so I can track, you know, 15 years of my top 100 prospects. So that's something in class I want everyone to be able to do as well, is you start to track your own 15 years and you can see, you know, your own thought processes and where you succeeded and where you failed. And it helps sets you up in the long run for just knowing, you know, how you operate as a GM, because I think a lot of people in the course ultimately will want to be scouts or GMs. And so it's just going to help get them years started on their process of how to develop and how to become a great scout.
This is going to be an awesome course and I'm really looking forward to it. And right, whether it's the content, the people you have involved, I mean, obviously, right, whatever team I'm on, I'm excited to meet the whoever's on there, the guys and girls that are on my team and kind of working with them. Obviously, making my first big board and comparing that down the line and start kind of starting that process for myself. But the biggest theme that you mentioned right now is kind of this theme of helping people, whether it's obviously right doing it, you know, getting the game, it's as a platform and as a community, or right, you're working in Ukraine and Romania by doing that. So I mean, how big has that been for you? And I want to hear more about that, the whole what you did overseas, because that is incredible, incredible work. But I mean, tell us a little about that theme of helping people, whether it's you or how you've seen others help other people.
Yeah, I just say that's, you know, when I say about like discovering yourself and who you are, like that's just become, that's, I don't know, since I was young, that's something I've always wanted to do, is give back to others. And probably the, you know, one of the biggest things in my life, when I got to Portland, I ended up connecting with an organization that was working with orphans in Zimbabwe. And so after my intern year, I spent 2 months in Zimbabwe working with kids, children at risk. You know, the AIDS epidemic, there was They have the largest population per capita of orphans in Zimbabwe. And so I just kind of like fell in love with, you know, the people there and my time there, and have people who I consider family. Like, they've sent their kids to stay with me in Oregon, and I go out and visit them. But I ended up spending 10 summers in Zimbabwe. So every year I would go out there and take a team, and you know, some people with the Blazers got involved. Terry Stotts helped build a library out there. Like, it's nothing we like really publicized, but there was just like, you know, a lot of cool people around the organization, around the city. Some people from Nike, some people from Intel. We set up, my guy Kyle Schlebaugh from Intel, like, helped set up a computer lab out there. And so we just had a lot of really cool things we did. So we did that for 10 years. And then, yeah, most recently, you know, with the war in Ukraine and Russia, I've just been kind of glued to it and what's happening, and just learning about it. And then an opportunity came with an organization, Vital Solutions and 501 Collective in Portland and Seattle, to be a part of their teams and go over there and actually go into Ukraine. And we, you know, we're delivering supplies into Ukraine and then taking care of refugees across the border in Romania. And so, you know, it's just really special to be a part of. And hopefully, you know, that's where it's like, even doing things like this in writing, it's like, it gives me the opportunity to do things like that, where it's like, if I still work in the NBA, you know, I had like a month in summer where I was able to like go to Africa, but now it's kind of, my schedule's a little more open to take advantage of opportunities like that to go around and serve.
It's obviously a really difficult, and we were talking about difficult situations before. That's obviously a real difficult situation over there. Yeah. I mean, but it's uplifting knowing that people like you are going out and making a difference in that. And I mean, we talk all about, you know, sharing and helping each other when it comes to basketball, but just as human beings, helping each other in that aspect is exponentially more important as well. So, I mean, thank you for sharing that and for all the work.
Yeah,
you
did,
because that's obviously an important reminder for us here, obviously, right, it being such a privilege to work in basketball, thinking about that aspect of it as well, of just life as well.
Yeah, thanks. It was a privilege for me to be over there. Like, it's hard to put words around the experience where you want to say, oh, it was amazing, it was awesome, but it's like, these people are fleeing a war for their lives. So it's like, just felt like, you know, privileged to be able to be there and hopefully, you know, help them onto the next step of their journey.
Definitely. And just this overall theme of helping others is just so great. I'm so excited for the course coming up. All our listeners, who are using the promo code Gen Z Hoops, you're getting $50 off of the full class. And hopefully I get to see you there. Make sure to reach out to me. Obviously reach out to John on LinkedIn so he knows that you're signed up and everything. But reach out to me too so I can see you there. Excited to see all our listeners hopefully take part in that. And obviously just super excited and blessed to have met you and obviously made this connection through a podcast, through a draft course. But obviously, right, hopefully this goes way past that into something where, who knows, maybe I'll sometime get my way into that fantasy football league one day. Maybe I'll get that esteemed honor and be like the 10th person in command on a team. Who knows?
I hope so.
Yeah, of course. Really excited to have met you and so excited to see this go out there and can't wait for the course.
Yeah, likewise. Thanks, John. Great to meet you.
Thanks for listening to Gen Z Hoops. Make sure to follow, like, and subscribe on Instagram, LinkedIn, and all major social media platforms at Gen Z Hoops. You can tune in and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and every other podcast platform on the planet. Get ready for the next episode.